We are going to spread the shear over 2 weeks, this week and next week in Yetzer Hashem. And we'll go topic by topic. We'll start with preparing for Pesach by cleaning the house. Rav Scheinberg, somebody from his yeshiva, put out a pamphlet last year, 2 years ago. I've seen it reprinted in many places, where he points out that there's a very big difference between spring cleaning and getting around to cleaning your house well once a year, and what has to be done for Pesach. And if there's a conflict between them, and doing the spring cleaning now, what's not necessary for Pesach, is going to put you into tremendous lachats and ruin your yontif, and maybe make it that you're going to spend more time doing the things that aren't necessary and neglect doing the things that are necessary, then better to focus in and emphasize what's necessary halachically and leave the spring cleaning for after Shavuos. On the other hand, there are a lot of things that people have minhagim to do that are valid minhagim. There's an inyan of being machmer on Pesach. Part of that, I think, is because the Torah itself is machmer on Pesach. Many halachas that don't apply the rest of the year, that don't apply to any other kinds of prohibitions, apply to chametz. So you see, the Torah already was machmer on Pesach more than other things. One of the reasons they say is that chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. And at least Pesach time, the Yetzer Hara you have to get rid of to the nth degree. But I think even more than that, the idea of chumras on Pesach has its source in the fact that, as we mentioned, Aseres Metshuva, there's also an inyan of chumras. The idea is that at the beginning of something, when you're setting the foundation and the root, then every little thing comes. A blemish in a seed is much more serious than the blemish in the tree. So when you're dealing with the foundation and the root, it has to be as perfect as possible. So Pesach is the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Every year we re-plant those seeds of what Klal Yisrael were. That's where the Klal Yisrael became a nation. This is the foundation and the root. So therefore, when you're dealing with the foundation and the root, it has to be extra special. So hence all these chumra de pischa. On the other hand, there are chumras that have no basis at all in halacha, and they're stam dvarim that have no need to be done. And again, if somebody spends time doing them at the expense of what he should be doing, that's not only not necessary, it's detrimental. So we'll try to, at the same time, give what is necessary. That doesn't mean to say that if you have minhagim to do more, you shouldn't do them. But you should realize that if they are positive, then do them. And if they seem to be in conflict with what has to be done and with the whole spirit of the yontif, then ask a shaila whether it's necessary or not. Okay, first of all, cleaning the house. You only have to clean those areas where there's a chance that you brought a kazayis of chametz into those places, and there's a kazayis of chametz there now. If you never brought a kazayis of chametz into that place, okay, you don't have little children running around, and you know that you're very careful never to bring chametz into your bedroom, then you don't have to clean your bedroom for Pesach. If you know for sure, again, that you never bring chametz into the bathroom, you don't have to clean your bathroom for Pesach. It's a nice idea to clean your bathroom, but it's not an inyan to do it for Pesach. And similarly, if you know that the attic, you never brought chametz there, you never went in there with chametz, you don't have chametz stored there, you don't have to go and clean out your attic for Pesach. But if there are places, if you have little children running around, there's no place in the room, in the house that doesn't have a chance of having chametz there. Okay. My wife was cleaning, I don't remember where, somewhere, it's no shaykhus to chametz. She found a sour sticks candy from one of our grandchildren. Oh, not one of my children. Stuck into somewhere there. But if you know for sure that you are very careful and you don't bring chametz into a room or an area of the house, then that does not need to be cleaned for Pesach. And therefore, if you want to clean it, leave it for last. So you know that you've covered everything that you have to do, leave that for last. Chametz, where there could be edible chametz, okay, that could be a kezias. So those places you have to clean, check, and make sure that there's no chametz there. And that includes not only places, it includes yalkutim, it includes cookbooks maybe, and things like that, recipe boxes, a host of things, closets, pockets of food, if your minig is to walk around with food in your pockets and munch on it constantly, then you have to check the pockets of your clothing. If you never put food in the pockets of your clothing, you don't have to check all the pockets. The svarim. Here there are opinions that say that you have to check any svarim that you don't want to put away and not use over Pesach at all, and basically put them behind the mechitza and sell them with your chametz, then you have to check every sefer, and you don't have to go page by page, but you have to shake out at least every sefer. That is a chumrah. It's not necessary to do. What you can do is the following. You have svarim that you don't plan to use by the table, you don't have to check them at all. If you have svarim that you plan to use at the table, like those you should check. Svarim that are impossible to clean, like benches, which were always used by the table, that inevitably are full of chametz, those you shouldn't bother with, you should put them away, sell them with your chametz, and get, anyway, we don't use benches on Pesach, we use the Haggadahs. So, what's it called? Put them away with the chametz. Any place that you plan to close up completely and not use, any room, you don't have to check it for chametz, you can just sell it, there's no, what's it called, you don't have to do anything to that room. So if you have, a storeroom or something you don't plan to use, b'chlal on Pesach, and you know there was chametz there, but you're going to close it off and sell it with your chametz, then that's good enough. Anything that you plan to sell to the goy, okay, we're not talking about selling the actual things, but the chametz on them or in them, pots, pans, do not have to be cleaned before you put them away and close them up and sell them with the chametz on them, or sell the chametz that's on them. Right? Since you're selling the chametz, you don't have to clean them in Dafka to make sure there's no chametz on them. So that's also a big saving of time. What else? Selling chametz bechlau. It probably is preferable, if you don't have chametz, that in quantities that would cause you a loss, a considerable loss, doesn't have to be hundreds of dollars or even hundreds of shekel, but a considerable loss. You have storages of chametz, in closed packages or whatever that you'd have to destroy. Then you can rely on mechiras chametz. If you don't have things like that, you have odds and ends of things that are half used, and it means a small loss of getting rid of them before Pesach completely, then it's better not to rely on mechiras chametz. It's better. And not to sell chametz gomer. You can still sell things that are the products of mixtures of chametz. But mamish chametz, like crackers and breads and macaroni and things like that, if you can avoid it, better not to sell those things. Liquor, There's a shaila whether that is chametz gomer or that's chametz mixed with other things. There's two ways of looking at it. Here, we're makel that even if you don't sell chametz gomer, you can sell liquor. And that taka for many people is a big hefset. So, anything else? You should sell your chametz anyway, because for fear that maybe you have something you don't know about. Or the things that even were not machmer not to sell. Taruvas chametz, whatever. But real chametz, if you can avoid it, you should get rid of it and not rely on the mechira. If you have a loss, even not a considerable loss, but a loss that would be choshev, then what's it called? You can rely on mechiras chametz. And you surely can rely on the mechiras chametz of other people after Pesach. Not to be machmer that if somebody sold their chametz, that you shouldn't eat from that chametz after Pesach. The mechira lemaisa is valid. It helps. The chumrah is not to rely on it that you have chametz in your house that you sold because of the surah d'oraisa of Balirah and Balimotze. But the Issud Rabbanan of eating chametz after Pesach, there's no place to be machmer at all that you shouldn't eat from places where they sold their chametz. Okay. Any questions on, in general, cleaning the house, not to kashering?
Yeah. If a place where you don't bring in chametz in general, except for particular things, for example, the rabbi gave an example of bedroom. So you might have cosmetic perfumes, deodorants, those type of things. But generally, you don't bring food, you don't bring cake in there.
No. That's usually, I mean, these kind of things, first of all, they're probably shy whether they're chametz altogether. If they are, they're not kind of things that make crumbs that you're looking for. You know where those things are, and you have to segregate them. So that's not all you bring in.
So the bodega just has to be those places where it's kept, not the whole room?
Yeah.
When we talk about kazayis in one place, what's the definition of a place?
What's the definition of a place?
Yeah, we always talk about the kazayis, but what's the place?
Okay, kazayis in one pocket or distributed in one
pocket. It means that there's the whole kazayis, you can't get a kazayis in a safer. Let's let your sandwich as a bookmark. So that's not a kazayas in one place. One place over there would mean, what's it called? Well, anywhere in a pocket, you could have a kazayas in one pocket. Right? It's not crumbs that you'd have to mimic starit from a few different, what's it called, areas together that you don't have to worry about. Each place, the area itself where the crumbs are is bottled. And that's only where if it's even less than a kazayis, but it's really edible, then it's a problem. If it's less than a kazayis, it's only crumbs, and they're crumbs that were on the floor. Nobody's going to go and eat off the floor. It's not. It's what's it called? It's in places where it gets dirty. Still. Then you have to worry about it all. Okay. Let's go now to kashrut. Kitchen, kashrut kitchen. Just get here, so we can follow it. I think it's the best one I have. Yeah. Well, yes, things in here that none of us have. Okay. Start with the. He starts with the oven, so let's start with the oven. As we say every year, and unfortunately, our memories are not all that great, otherwise we'd have to do this every year. But as we say every year, with ovens there are a few different opinions. L'chatchila, if you can afford it, and now there's plenty of time before Pesach to do it, and to do it once and have it year after year, is to make an oven insert. An oven insert is something that is closed on the six sides, with has a door on one side, obviously. It's called an all six sides. It's really good. There's a door that opens on one side. And it has its own racks. And you insert it inside your oven, and you cook and bake inside that. That means that it's totally segregated from your oven. If you do that, all you have to do is clean out your oven well with some kind of oven cleaner. You don't have to kosher it at all. Just clean it well and make sure there's no mamoshes of chametz. And then you put this insert in and you're ready to bake and cook for Pesach. Cleaning your oven well means also the door. Every inside plus the door, whatever. If you can't do that, okay, and here it's not that expensive and it's something you do once, you'll have it for years. If you can't do that, then if you have a self-cleaning oven, probably even if you could do that, if you have a self-cleaning oven, you could rely on the self-cleaning cycle. Put it on the self-cleaning cycle once. If you see that there's still some kind of residue that's not totally ashes, then they recommend you do it again. I also recommend you do it again. And after that, if your self-cleaning oven is working properly, if it's not, right, and it's not self-cleaning, then it's a problem. But if it's working properly, then after that, you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to clean your oven first. Just put it on the self-clean. That will clean it and kosher it at the same time. Leave the racks in the oven, and that'll kosher the racks also. And in that way, you've kashered your oven. You can also put other people's racks or other things that need libun in the oven and kasher them also. That's a self-cleaning oven. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, you have a regular oven. So then, if you can't for some reason get an insert for the oven, then the racks should either be changed or kashered with libun gomor, meaning putting them into somebody's self-cleaning oven, which for this is good enough, or to blowtorch them. Are you going to be kashering this year again? Okay, we'll announce when.
Okay,
and there'll be also a blowtorch to kasher things. Okay. So either kasher them with a blowtorch, the other racks, or put them in somebody's self-cleaning oven. And the rest of the oven, clean out well and leave on, after you've cleaned it out, leave it on for on the highest heat for about an hour. After that, it should reach the heat. It's not going to get any hotter than that. And for an hour, even better, okay, and this is every year the same shiloh. In my estimation, if you leave it on longer, it does get hotter. Because the walls of the oven don't get as hot as the air in the oven when it says, you know, when the thermostat goes on and off. But you can leave it on for the longest you ever left it on to cook something, that's better. But many hold that if you leave it on just for an hour, and it gets to the heat where the thermostat goes off, and you put it on the highest heat, that's enough. So that's the oven, the inside of the oven. Then less than that, you shouldn't rely on. And you should not try to take a blowtorch to your regular electric or gas oven, because you won't have any problem of using it on Pesach, because you won't be able to. It'll definitely destroy it. Right? There's commercial ovens you can take a blowtorch to. Regular household ovens, inevitably you're going to kill the thermostat, that's the first thing. And after that, you'll probably kill the oven. So if you want to really be machmir, then get the insert. On the top, stove top, burners. So the tray underneath the burner, most of them have these disposal ones. The easiest thing is to either get new ones for Pesach and save them from year to year, or to use the disposable ones. The place where the gas comes out itself just has to be cleaned. Whatever food could be there is burnt by the gas anyway. The tripod, that has to be kashered with libun, and that is put into the flame, or put into somebody's self-cleaning oven, or bring up when they kasher, and use a blowtorch on it. The surface of the oven, of the stove, between the burners. So those, that has to be cleaned well, and then covered with heavy-duty aluminum foil, or two layers of regular aluminum foil, completely. So nothing comes in contact with that directly. There's all different kinds of ovens. I think most people here have gas ovens. If you have an electric oven, then the coil just has to be left on till it gets red hot, and that's it. You don't have to do anything more. You don't have to cover it. You don't have to do anything else. If you have a hood with your oven, then the hood should be cleaned well, and if it's within close proximity to the steam that comes from the pots, it should be covered with aluminum foil after it's cleaned.
What type?
What? What type of what?
Aluminum foil.
What type of aluminum foil?
Heavy duty.
Okay. Same thing as the other one. Whenever we say cover aluminum foil, means one layer of heavy duty or two layers of regular. Okay. That's they came with Shaila, the kind of oven now they have where the surface thing doesn't get hot at all. It's like a microwave for stovetop. What it does is it has electromagnetic, the special pots. You have to use a special pot, and you put the pot on, and the pot only gets hot, the pot itself. Not around it at all. When you take the pot off, there's no heat at all. It's immediately cold, right? It's just these electromagnetic things go through. So originally I thought that the chora is not a problem because there's no real heat over here. But the truth is not like that because the pot gets hot. And then if it overflows, you have eerie cleavage shown on these things and they never get hot so you can't kasher. You can only kasher when there's a pot on top. And there's no heat there. The heat goes in through the pot. So in the end, I didn't have enough information to really decide, but it could be even worse than a regular thing. So there's no mile of getting that for Pesach. So if you have it, you can ask a Shaila. If you don't have it yet, don't get it.
$5,000.
What?
Okay.
$1,000.
Could be similar to a microwave where they hold that the pot is like a cliché.
The pot went in the microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here it's not. Why is it cliché? It's not a heat source. The pot becomes the heat source. The pot is heated up. It's the ash. You heat up metal, then it becomes hot. That's ash. And it's more than yatzalat as well. So it's not even a cliché. It's not a cliration of the ash. It is the ash. Okay. Okay, that takes care of ovens. Any question about ovens and stovetops? We'll go on to the next thing.
What are the guidelines for requiring a galah leave from Yibum Gama? Why is one Yibum Gama leave?
For chametz, since it's a teira bola, we're saying if that Yibum Kal is enough for chametz.
Depending on what kind of heat it was during the year? The pot was on the fire, it needs that libun gomer, or is it gola?
Pot on the fire doesn't need libun at all, it needs a gola. Because you use a pot, means you're using it with liquid. I'm talking about ovens or whatever, where there's no liquid. And there, even though normally something without liquid, you need mamish to make it red hot, or close to that. By chometz, since we hold that chometz is a terebola, right, the whole year chometz is mutter. So when it was nivla, it was mutter, you only need libun kal. Libun kal is enough that if you put a tissue to the other side, it'll burst into flame. A kash, a straw of tissue, whatever. So that's wherever you need libun on Pesach, only libun kal is enough. That's why what we described for the oven is enough. And Hagola, you need wherever something was a Klirisho Mato Eish. You need Hagola and a Klirisho Mato Eish.
And probably when you need Mato Eish?
No. Absolutely. Only to
Hagola.
What? Okay, let's we'll go to the things Lamaisa without saying. Not only Shulchan Aruch, Lamaisa, what to do for Pesach. Okay, nobody here has a Corningware stovetop? No. Or these things? Okay. I don't want to confuse people. Okay, let's just stick to doing the things that have to be done. Okay. When we give a shir in Shulchan Aruch, we'll speak about that. Right now we're talking about ovens and sinks and not the principles of halacha, just what to do. Okay? Otherwise, people get confused. Okay.
Yeah, but you have to wait, you have to not use it 24 hours before.
That's only Hagolah. We didn't get to it. We didn't use it. We're talking about ovens.
Right.
Nothing in the oven. Even Kali, you don't have to wait 24 hours. It's the same thing as Levon, yeah.
Can you clarify what's meant by blowtorching?
What is meant by blowtorching something?
What is a blowtorching involved? Is it just the flame?
No. Blowtorching means leaving it so an area around where the flame is, if you turn off the lights, would be red hot. So that takes leaving it there for a few minutes. Now the problem is that the area around gets red hot. The area where the flame is pinpointed, if you have a good blowtorch, could melt in certain metals. So in order to get the area around hot enough, the area where the flame is has to be even hotter. And you can't take a blowtorch and go over every single square inch. So what you have to do is leave it in one area, and then the area around that gets hot enough. So I'm telling you, it's unless you're just doing it to racks, it's destructive. It's meant to be that. Okay. And again, the materials that our kalim are made of are not made to withstand that. Okay, microwave ovens. A microwave oven basically should be treated like a regular oven. Okay? And therefore, to kasher it for Pesach, either you can make an insert for a microwave too, except don't make it out of metal. They make it out of, what are those things they make for projects? Like cardboard. Right, something like that. And you can make it to fit your oven. Clean out the oven, the inside of the microwave, very, very well. Get a new dish where the plates or whatever it is sits on, or improvise something for Pesach, and cover the walls, except not the fan. The place with the fan, clean very well, and just leave that open. That's okay.
Don't have to worry that anything got in there?
No. You can clean it out, yeah, but you don't have to kosher in any way. And leave that, you can leave that, the fan part open, and you have to leave it open. And the rest cover the walls, the door on the inside, and you can use scotch tape, whatever, it'll stay. That's one possibility. Another possibility is if the microwave is stainless steel, not plastic. Most microwaves are in plastic. So you can't kosher a plastic microwave for Pesach. During the year, if you have to kosher it for something, ask a shayla. There were much more nakel. Pesach or no hay, not your kasher plastic. So if it's a plastic one, put it away with your chametz. If it's stainless steel, you can clean it out well and boil up water in a pot on the stove. Pour the water into something that can be put in the microwave while it's still hot. Boil it up in the microwave by putting it in the microwave for a few minutes, until it boils to a point where the steam fills the whole microwave. Here you have to leave the microwave for 24 hours without using it before you do this. You have to clean it well, leave it for 24 hours, and then put in the boiling water and let it boil. That's where the steam fills up the microwave. Okay. What else?
You change the last plate
with a turntable in the bottom? Yeah, that you should change. Or you can cover it, not with aluminum foil, cover it with saran wrap, something similar like that, a few layers, and clean it well first, then cover it. That's also okay. Okay, refrigerators. Any questions about microwaves? No, that's fine. Next, refrigerators and freezers. Here, usually, you don't put things in the refrigerator that are hot. The pots may be hot, but you don't have hot food come in contact with the refrigerator shelves. So here it's only a matter not of koshering, it's only a matter of cleaning. So you have to clean the shelves very well. That's all. You don't have, if you clean them, you don't have to cover them. If you have places, and again, most of the time, everything in the refrigerator is in a package, or it's in a pot, or it's in a plate. You don't put the food directly on the shelves in a refrigerator, especially not hot food. So if you clean it well, and you use some kind of cleaner, that if there's anything left there, it becomes pogum, it becomes unedible. Okay, all the normal cleaners are like that, even though they all have a hechsher from the badash, which would seem that you can eat them if you want. But if you eat them, you're going to poison yourself. Right? They are not edible. So they make everything they come in contact with not edible. So it's only necessary to clean out the refrigerator well. If you have places that are hard to get to, you don't have to sit there for hours with a toothpick to get every little bit of crumbs from behind the shelves or whatever. Pour some bleach into those areas, and whatever's there is not edible anymore. It's not going to be a kazayas. If you have to sit there with a toothpick, there can't be a kazayas hiding under in these cracks. The worst is we're afraid that maybe it'll get into the other food. So if you've rendered it unedible, that's not a problem anymore. So, again, pour a little bleach. You can't really pour bleach into these things. Take a Q-tip, put bleach on the end, and coat the crack with bleach. That's about
it. Spray bottle.
Spray bottle's fine, too. If you want to have a watering can, it's also okay, or any other syringe, any other way that you want to get it into the crack. Gesundheit. Okay. Okay. Freezers, the same thing. Freezers, though, a lot of times there's a lot of crummy things that get iced over in a freezer. And when the ice age stops, right, you find, you know, prehistoric food buried under the ice. So there it's a good idea if you have to defrost your freezer, even in frost-free ones, many times you have to defrost them. It's a good idea to do that before Pesach and to clean it out well after it's been defrosted and all of the ice that's accumulated or whatever frost is not there, because you're going to find, you know, long-lost food buried under there. The same thing again, if you have areas that you can't hard to get to, put bleach in them in any way you can get it in there. Okay. Now the again, the shelves you don't have to cover. If you have the drawers where you keep food directly there, and it's possible that things spilled or whatever and you didn't get everything out, then maybe those drawers be an idea to put some paper down to cover them. But it's really not necessary. If you're sure that everything is clean, you see there's nothing there, then you can even put the vegetables, potatoes, whatever else you keep in the refrigerator, those drawers directly on the drawer. Anybody here have a dishwasher besides the humankind? Okay. So we'll skip dishwashers.
Somebody does.
What? Somebody did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. You have a dishwasher, again, the same thing as with a microwave. If the dishwasher on the inside is stainless steel, then it can be kosher. You have to get new racks. Can't use the same racks. And they're very expensive. But if you have them, right, that's fine. Then what you should do is take out the racks, both the non-Pesach thicker ones. Don't put the Pesach thicker ones in yet. And run the dishwasher through one cycle on the highest heat. And that should, what's it called, kasher the sides, whatever, pour bleach down the drain of the dishwasher itself, and then put in the new racks. And that's enough. Now, somebody told me, I think it was Yaakov Norden, in fact, that there's new dishwashers, not really that up on new world dishwashers, since I left Miami, that there's new dishwashers now where they have a heating element inside the dishwasher, and it's not just hot water that gets sprayed on the from the whirl thing on the sides, but mamish the dishwasher fills up with water, and the water is heated by a heating element.
Right.
So it's mamish like a pot. That's much more serious. And that, if you have a dishwasher like that, I'd have to come take a look and see exactly how it works. That could be ken kasher b'chlal.
With the heating element at the very bottom of the...
Right, that mamish heats up the water. It's not eerie. It's mamish, it needs real hagol. Hear it. It's not eerie clearisho. It's mamish, the water is being heated by a heating element. It's like a pot. That's, I have to see how it works. I can't believe that that's how it really works. There's no dishwasher that fills up like a washing machine and then the water gets hot. It's still eerie. Right, it's like
a... Right,
that's what was described to me, but I can't believe that that's true. It just can't be.
That element,
the Talmidei Chachamim know about everything.
What? No, it's for. No, it's for. The heating element on the bottom of the thing goes on later on to dry the dishes and form heat. It's the stuff that's for that. The water in the dishwasher has nothing to do with the heating element.
No, that's
just
for drying.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, that little button. Okay. Yeah, it does. I think it does heat up the water.
But that's not for the washing cycle.
I think it does.
Okay, in any case, if anybody has one, if anyone has one that the whole thing fills up with water and the water gets heated by the thing, I'd like to know about it, because you use it in a fish tank also.
What about the plastic
soap dispenser?
The plastic soap
dispenser, except the soap dispenser is stained with plastic.
Since that's, just take it out and wash it off good. The chances... I don't want to go into why, but there's no problem.
Perfect. And I've seen people bringing racks, like in the Haggalah, and here you have to put the racks into the boiling water. That,
racks of what?
Of the dishwasher rack.
That doesn't help.
Doesn't.
Well, I shouldn't say it doesn't help. We're no way that it doesn't help.
Okay.
The rubber.
It
could be Ramosha's choshish that you can never get them 100% clean, and therefore you can't kasher. If you could get them 100% clean, then there's a problem of what material they're made out of. Process their rubber. Rubber could be kashered.
Right. So, real rubber or synthetic rubber?
Well, the other one for Pesach, Ramachmer is like plastic. But a lot of them are mamish rubber. And the rubber you can kasher. So I don't know exactly what. It's possible that they could be kashered. Somebody who uses them, you can't say that they're using chametz and Pesach. But our minig is not to kasher the racks, to get other new racks. Okay, that's dishwashers, anything else? Right? Sinks. A blech. Okay, let's go with blech since we're talking about the oven. A blech, get a new blech for Pesach. Don't bother, what's it called, blowtorch in your blech. You could do it. It'll take the nice finish off of it. It'll probably make it not so straight anymore. So you'll have to position the food in all the ways so it doesn't. And it doesn't cost that much to buy a new blech, so buy a new blech. Okay.
You're talking about both of the blech you put on a gas stove and the blech the electric platter.
No, I'm talking about a blech that you put on a gas stove. Piece of metal. Okay, let's talk about plata. A plata should be washed well. No, nothing on it. Leave it on to the highest heat. Only one heat, I guess.
First, leave it to dry after you wash it, then leave it on. Well, first, leave it to dry after you wash it.
Then well, if you're not soaking it, you're just washing the top.
Right. So, you have to wait 24 hours before you like heat it up to a passion?
No. And then cover it with aluminum foil. Okay? All the things together. Next, coffee oil. Every year we say the same thing. If you use the coffee oil very close to chametz, where it's kemat impossible that chametz didn't splash on it, then get another coffee urn for Pesach. If you kept it away, it's possible that something splashed, but it's not probable. You don't know for sure that anything ever splashed on it. Could be, but it could be not. And you've kept it on a counter, pretty much away from hot things, cooking or whatever, not next to the oven. And you didn't wash it together with chametz de kakelu. Then you can clean it out well, and you can use it for Pesach. If not, get a special one for Pesach and put it away from year to year.
The spouts and sinks.
Well, let me give you one thing at a time. Okay, next. Sinks. Sinks, if you have a stainless steel sink, you can kosher it for Pesach. Here, clean it out. Well, don't use it for 24 hours for hot things. And then, after 24 hours, take boiling water from the stove and pour it into the sink. You can preferably you can put hot stones or hot metal in the sink so the water will keep boiling. That's preferable, but it's not 100% necessary because inevitably the sink never had mommy's boiling water in it before. So kibolo kachpoto, the eerie that you're going to do, is at least as hot as whatever was spritzed into the sink. Lechatchila, we're makbid that it be mamish boiling. So therefore, it's good to have the water continue to boil. But if it, you didn't, and you just poured boiling water, right, and it cooled off a little bit between the time you took it off the stove and you poured it in, that's good enough. That's a stainless steel sink. If you have a porcelain sink, like we have, like the Moshav original sinks were. I don't know if anybody still has those original sinks. You can't kosher them. So those you have to clean well and put an insert, a plastic insert, and do all your cleaning of the dishes in that. And the insert should be raised a little bit above the bottom of the sink so there's room for the water to drain off and the kale not coming in contact directly with the bottom of the sink. And the spigot should pour boiling water over that, clean it out. If you have a strainer, usually it's hard to clean that well. I don't know what gets caught in there. Usually chametz doesn't get caught in there, just whatever comes in from the tap. So, if you get a new strainer, it's probably better, but it's not necessary. It should pour boiling water over the whole thing with the strainer in it. That should be enough. The drains, you should pour bleach down the drain just in case there's a backup from the drain. This way, at least whatever was in there before Pesach is nullified. Countertops, you should wash well and cover them. And if you cover them over here with something that's waterproof so that it doesn't get soggy or whatever, something, linoleum, something like that, or plastic, heavy plastic, or whatever, and then you don't have to kosher them. You don't have to pour boiling water over them. Just clean them well and cover them. Yeah.
If we've left the sink standing for 24 hours without putting, you know, using hot water, when we go to clean it, I usually clean my sinks with hot water, but I have to make sure the water's not very hot. So
well,
if I'm actually scrubbing my sink, I use hot water.
I understand. So you should clean it and then leave it for 24 hours. Not done. If you clean it again, clean it with cold water.
Countertops
made of shayish could be kashered. All these things could be kashered. But it's better just to cover it with things.
Right.
But the shyness that most people have is not real shyness.
It's real, if it's real shyness, real marble, you can kosher it. If it's not, if it's something synthetic, then it can't be kosher.
I don't know if it's Eventide considered real marble.
I don't know what Eventide. What is it?
It's processed.
Here, there's a whole thing. This is American stuff. Pressed marble. That can be koshered. Pressed marble can be koshered. Tumbled marble, cultured marble. Searle. Ice stone, lava stone. Lava stone made of lava from volcanoes cannot be kosher. If you wait for it to erupt, though, it should be okay. Okay.
Yeah. These are counters, and all kinds of things being on the rough said that it could not be kosher.
Which counters?
In our kitchen, yeah. The stone that he's talking about.
Yeah. Okay, then
it cannot be kosher. It has to be covered.
Then it's not. Then it's not this. What is it exactly? What's it called? What's the one you have called?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe then I looked into it. I don't remember now. What's it called? But it could be that we looked into it and it's not pressed marble, it's something else. It's again, it's an Israeli thing. I don't know if it's something synthetic or it's mixed with synthetics, then it can't be kosher. If it's pure marble, just crushed, but again, how do they make it? If they crush it, how do they make it come back together? They must mix something into it.
No, the same way they make particle board. Crushed up sawdust.
With glue. No, so they must put something else in the marble.
I'll find out what else,
okay.
I'll find out.
Okay.
It's like clay, like ceramic.
Well, so that's much worse.
It's ceramic with
hardness. I'll find out.
Then it's clinkeris.
Yeah, I think so.
Then it's not stone. It's the difference between stone and ceramic. Ceramic is you can't kosher. Stone you can kosher. Porcelain you can't kosher. There's a big difference between one's like clay and one's like ground stone. Stainless steel countertops again. You could do hagala, but the best thing is just to cover them. And then you don't have to do hagala, you have to do both. And it's easier just to cover everything. And clean it well and just cover it. With something that won't disintegrate before Pesach is over. Something, you know, these heavy plastics. So we finished pretty much preparing the kitchen. Next week we'll go into products, cosmetics, and whatever.